Now, I know that I presented this contrast between the spiritual community, which consists of individuals, and the group, which does not consist of individuals, rather sharply and rather starkly. But this is, I feel, absolutely necessary. Because it's very necessary and very important that we should know what it is that we are actually looking for. What we're actually in search of. Whether we are looking for a spiritual community that we can belong to through becoming ourselves an individual and qualifying in that way, or whether what we're really looking for is just a group. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong in wanting to belong to a group. The need, the desire to belong to a group is very, very strong in man. It has a very, very long history. Just think how far back human ancestry goes. It goes back a full million years. And man, we know, is descended from the primates. And his primate ancestry goes back 20 million years. And during the whole of that period, during that 21 million year period, as ape man, as man ape and man, man, as he then was, lived as a member of a group. So there's a long history of this sort of thing behind us, in our blood and in our bones, as it were. And until just a few thousand years ago, out of 21 million years, the group to which all these ancestors of man belonged was of a certain type. It was simply an extended family group, a small tribe, maybe 30, 40 or 50 members strong. This is how our ancestors lived for that vast period of time, until very, very recently indeed. And only very recently was that comparatively simple situation complicated by the rise, only after all 8,000 or 10,000 years ago, of what we call civilization. Before that, what happened? What was the situation? Let's just try to imagine it. Whether it is in terms of the primates or the ape men or men apes, or even of human beings themselves before 8,000 or 10,000 years ago. You just had groups of, well, I was going to say people, but we don't really have a proper general term, but you'll understand what I mean. You just had groups of people wandering about, enclosed by vast spaces, enclosed by vast forests, and only very occasionally coming into contact, very peripheral contact, with other similar groups. For instance, supposing we had all been living, say, 20,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago, or 1,000,000 years ago, or let's go further back and imagine that we were primates and living, say, 10 million years ago, well, there would have been just this little sort of group, this little tribe of us, all interrelated, people of different ages and sexes and so on, and there wouldn't have been anyone near us, maybe, for scores of miles. And we wouldn't have come into contact with anyone outside this group, except very occasionally. And all our contacts, all our relationships would have been just this group, and around just nature. And occasionally a contact with some other group, some other tribe. And this is how we would have been living. And this is how we, our ancestors, have been living for 21 million years. It's only the last 8,000 or 10,000 years that we've been living in a different way. A way, as I've said, complicated by the rise of civilization. So it's not surprising that we still feel the need to belong to that old sort of group and contrive in one way or another to belong, even in a distorted manner, to such a group. And of course, today, the situation is more complicated and more distorted than ever before in history. You see, the trouble nowadays is, from a certain point of view, that we find ourselves belonging to groups which are either much too small or much too big. On the one hand, there's the nuclear family into which we are born. Mother, father, maybe one or two brothers and sisters. But this sort of nuclear family is a quite recent development in human history. And even now, it's by no means found everywhere in the world. And it's so late and so unusual, this sort of nuclear family, so sort of exceptional and aberrant, that it's not surprising that psychologists say that it's a sort of breeding ground for neurosis. On the other hand, groups nowadays are so big that we can't possibly have contact with all the members of them. Especially, we think of the nation state. That's the biggest group of all, perhaps. So here we are, as it were, suspended, almost, between a group which cramps us, i.e. the nuclear family, and a group which is so big as to be meaningless, i.e. the state, with a number maybe of other very large, equally unsatisfactory groups of which we have a sort of partial and intermittent membership, which don't really satisfy us. But what man wants, or all that man wants sometimes, is just a group that he can belong to, as in the good old days, when he roamed the forests or lived in the little village. All he wants is 30, 40, 50, or maybe, if he's very ambitious and greedy, 60 other people with whom he's in real live contact all the time, whom he knows personally, with whom he has a genuine sort of relationship on that sort of group level. Preferably, people with whom he can also live and work. And this sort of need, this need to belong to a group of this sort in this way, cannot be bypassed. We can't just pretend it doesn't exist. Because after all, man has to develop stage by stage and step by step. So nowadays, it's not only a question of creating a spiritual community by helping to create individuals, it's also a question of establishing groups in which healthy group members, potential individuals, will develop.